Morning, birds. It's raining out there, isn't it? A little bit of a sprinkle. Birds, we have a theme today. What is it?
Intelligence.
That's it. I'm sorry, what's our theme today?
Intelligence.
See, it's interesting, that's artificial intelligence explaining that our theme today is...
Intelligence.
Well, like she's been drinking.
Thank you.
Mr. Moody Blues on Pirate Radio from Chicago, the show in which we admit we just haven't figured it out yet. We're still searching for an answer, and we're going to try to do it today. Welcome in. It's 8 after the hour. It's Gary Lee Wright. This is the 8th of April, and today we do have a theme. Talk about intelligence. I wrote down on the list we're going to talk about animal intelligence, artificial intelligence, extraterrestrial intelligence, emotional intelligence. And what is intelligence? And I looked it up. It's the capacity for learning, reasoning, understanding, aptitude in grasping truths, relationships, facts, and meanings. And then it gets better and better and better. The gathering or distribution of information, especially secret information. Yeah. Synonyms for intelligence: discernment, reason, acumen, aptitude. And of course, antonyms for intelligence would include, what is it?
Stupidity.
That's right. That's right. One more time. If you're not smart, you're...
Stupidity.
That's right. Yeah, all right. Anyway, we're going to get into that today as we look at intelligence. We hope that you're feeling smart today. In Washington, President Biden is expected to unveil a series of executive actions addressing gun violence today. Weeks after we had back-to-back mass shootings, 18 people dead recently. Mr. Biden is also expected to announce his intent to nominate David Chipman. David Chipman's a gun control advocate. He will lead the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. They have added to that title there. That bureau has not had a permanent director since 2015. The move comes as Mr. Biden has been under pressure to address gun violence, but has made clear that pushing legislation through a blockade of Republican opposition. What was that again?
Stupidity.
Right. Officials reiterated on Wednesday that the proposals the president planned to unveil with Merrick B. Garland, who is our new attorney general, only the start, and the president would continue to call on Congress to take action. I got to tell you, though, this is today. The Justice Department is going to announce three initiatives to fight gun violence. It's a problem that we have a majority in the Senate, we being the Democrats, and we hope the saner wing of America, saner. But we don't have a supermajority, and it's going to be hard to get stuff passed. Anyway, three things that are up today. One rule would help stop the proliferation of so-called ghost guns. You know that word? Ghost guns are, they're kits. You do some assembly required. Kits that allow a gun to be assembled from pieces. White House officials would not say whether the administration would ultimately seek to classify ghost guns as firearms, only that the department was trying to stop criminals from buying kits containing all the components and the directions to build one. Come on, really? I know. A second rule would make clear that when a device marketed as a stabilizing brace transforms a pistol into a short barrel rifle, that weapon is subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act. I know we're a little bit deep for this time of the morning. The gunman in the Boulder, Colorado shooting last month used a pistol like that with an arm brace. Made it more stable and accurate. And finally, the Justice Department is going to publish model red flag legislation for states. What is that? The measure would allow police officers and family members to petition a court to temporarily remove firearms from people who may present a danger to themselves or others. Biden cannot pass the national red flag legislation without Congress, but officials said the goal of the guidance was to make it easier for states that want to adopt it to do so now. And on and on. You know what? We're going to get into this as much as we can. I don't know anybody in America who doesn't have an opinion on gun control, gun violence. And, well, you know, I just keeping back to the, you know.
Stupidity.
That's right. We need to pull it together here. What they say back in the day? We must all hang together or we will all be hanged separately. This is a good story here. This is the wave of the future. An adventurous young off-roading enthusiast in West Virginia was saved by social media. A teenager more than 800 miles away noticed that he was in need of help. Caden Cotnoir is 13. He lives in Gilmanton, New Hampshire. And he was watching 12-year-old Trent Jarrett ride a quad bike live via the TikTok app. And it's not just dancing, they do all kinds of stuff. Anyway, Caden witnessed that Trent crashed the four-wheeler right before his eyes in the middle of a streaming broadcast. So Caden's watching the continuing live feed. He notices that Trent was yelling on a phone number as he was trapped underneath the recreational bike. Caden immediately called the number and was connected to Trent's family, and they were able to jump into the action. I think that's pretty cool. And we are now, how many times a day do I say this? We're living in the future. We really are. Or maybe we're not. For the right price, Colorado drivers can buy the rights to marijuana-themed license plate configurations. As part of the Colorado Disability Fund 420 auction, 14 license plates with words, this is Colorado, like bong, hash, indica, are being, that's a southern part of the United States. I don't know what that is. As a Monday night price has ranged from $320 for a stash license plate to one that reads ISIT is it 420. Whoa, $6,000 for that one. Bidders are buying the rights to use the license plate configuration on their official license plate in Colorado. And well, they got to pay for it. Standard fee apply. The bidding page also includes the following disclaimer. Don't drive high. Please use cannabis responsibly within the limits of all Colorado laws. That's right. Only you're following somebody who has a license plate that says hash. Right? On his rear bumper.
Guilty.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the John Butler, the John Butler Trio. I was hanging out with Aaron the News Baron here. We were chatting with each other. Good morning and welcome in. It's 19 after the hour here. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. We're doing a kind of a theme thing today on intelligence. There's so many kinds of intelligence. Yesterday we were getting into animal intelligence. Thought I'd get into that a little bit. Artificial intelligence, extraterrestrial intelligence, emotional intelligence. And one of the smartest guys I know is on the line here. Aaron Mittens. Hello, Aaron. Hello, good morning. Hang on. Speaking of intelligence, I didn't plug it in yet. Okay. This is the rehearsal. All right. This is the rehearsal. So anyway, all right. We got, what do we got here? I got Michio Kaku.
Yes. So
go ahead.
Yeah, Michio Kaku, he's a theoretical physicist at the City College of New York. But I specifically picked some clips from this guy for this conversation because a lot of the Hollywood movie outlets, they hit him up when they're trying to come up with new ideas of how to have different types of aliens or what they may look like, what they may sound like or think like, etc.
Yeah, let's give it a spin.
Well, take a look at the brain. The brain has, roughly speaking, three parts to it. The back of the brain is a reptilian brain, the brain that understands space, where the food is, where your mate is. Then the center of the brain is the monkey brain, the brain of society. And then the question is, what are we? What do we have that the monkeys and the alligators don't have? Spatial coordination in the back, societal coordination in the front. What do we have in the front of the brain that makes us different? And I say it is time. We see the future. Animals do not. Here's an experiment you can do. Go home tonight and teach your dog the meaning of tomorrow. You can't do it. You can't teach your dog the meaning of tomorrow. Because there was no evolutionary pressure that forced dogs to understand tomorrow.
Well, this takes us back to yesterday.
Right.
When they were pressing the buttons. Was there a button marked tomorrow?
I don't think so. There was one for later. I don't really know if they understood what that meant deeply, though. I don't know.
That is interesting. All right. The idea of seeing the future. I don't want to argue with this guy. But we all know that animals know when it's going to rain. You've heard this?
Yeah.
So So is that different from what I just told us?
So what he's speaking about is the fact that we exist in the future. Most of what we think about from day to day is, you know, what's coming up. When animals, they exist in large proportion in the now. I do disagree with what he's saying to an extent, though. I do think that certain animals certainly think about, you know, like, what's going to happen tomorrow? How am I going to get food tomorrow? Or how can I get this cool feathered bird? I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's that going on there, you know?
Yeah. Is it too late to subscribe? Yeah. We're going to get philosophical here. Let's hear what else he has to say here.
But the next question is, what happens beyond that? In 200 years, the robots will be smart enough to remove the chip. They'll be clever enough to realize that there's a defect in their hardware. They can remove that fail-safe system. Then what are we going to do? Because, of course, intelligence is, in some sense, open-ended. At that point, I think we should merge with them. We, instead of competing against them, should merge with them. Why compete with them when we can wind up the next day as supermen and superwomen with superhuman powers and abilities? Because in some sense, on a scale now of thousands of years, it's inevitable.
So this has something to do with ant colonies, right?
He's talking about AI. And so right now we're in the early stages of artificial intelligence. When we think about artificial intelligence, we usually think of general artificial intelligence. And that's what he's talking about, where you have something that's generally intelligent like we are that can be applied to many different types of activities, not just a one specific thing it can do and everything else will just fall apart. So that he's talking about, once we get to the point where they tend to get as smart as, let's say, an ape, it's at that point, can we really prevent the domination of AI? Will they get smarter than us? Yeah. And it's really going to be a problem.
Yeah. Wow. We're in an era I didn't even realize we were into. All right.
He describes in another, the AI intelligence clip, like where we are right now in the progression of general AI, because we're not there yet, which is good. We still have some time.
I give my students a quiz and I say to them that the necessary requirements for intelligence is, first of all, a thumb of some sort, a finger, a claw, a tentacle, something to manipulate the environment. Second, eyesight of some sort, so you can coordinate the manipulation of the environment. And third, a language, so you can carry that information from generation to generation. How many animals on the earth have all three? An advanced language, have the ability to manipulate objects very delicately with a thumb of some sort, and eyesight, so they can see all around them. And you begin to realize almost none, except us. We have a language of thousands of words. Children learn several words a day when they're growing up. We have the ability of manual dexterity that apes don't have. And we have the ability to see, not as good as a hawk, but good enough to see our three-dimensional environment to have hand-eye coordination. And so I think in outer space, they should have all three.
Wow. Take a second here. I accidentally hit the wrong button here. I want to see what we've got here.
Do you read me, Hal? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Hello, Hal, do you read me?
Hal!
Do you read me, Hal?
Hal!
Affirmative, Dave.
Hello?
I read you.
Hal?
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
Dave, although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
All right, Hal. I'll go in through the emergency airlock.
Without your space helmet, Dave, you're going to find that rather difficult.
Didn't think of that.
Hal, I won't argue with you anymore.
Damn it.
Open the doors.
Dave.
Dave.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
Dave.
Goodbye.
Hal? Hal?
Hal?
Hal.
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 Aaron, is that what our friend is getting to on alien intelligence?
Yeah.
I give my students a quiz.
So you're thinking about the different types of intelligence and going towards the edge cases. Like, what can the maximum and the minimum, right? So, right. Microbes have intelligence? Probably not. Do galaxies have intelligence? Probably not. But somewhere in between there, we can't just be, you know, the median. So think about the edge cases in terms of AI. He's talking about that there's really no cap to intelligence. So when AI is able to improve itself where we can't, even if it takes 200 years, it's exponential. They'll eventually be smarter than us. And you know, extraterrestrial intelligence, alien life, it seems so out of the box to think about what kind of, you know, biological life could live outside of Earth. But there are edge cases where you can have a planet that's so hot where you can't have molecular bonds, or so cold where nothing can really happen. So there is a range that we can think about where they may have a certain appendage to move things around in their environment, eyes to see around them and orient themselves. So we could start thinking about these things, and that's what he does for a job, thinking about, you know, extraterrestrial intelligence and how they may perceive time and how that may differentiate us between the other animals on Earth.
Well, when they reach out to hit the clock, they're going to use a tentacle. Maybe.
Right.
See what he had to say about
that. Or they live in the fourth dimension and they have two time dimensions.
Here's more about
the that. Most advanced computers that we have today, the robots of today, they have the collective wisdom and intelligence of a cockroach. Even a cockroach can find shelter, mates, food, hide in the forest. You put our most advanced robot in the forest, and what does it do? It falls over. It can't even get up again because it's lost in the forest. However, I foresee a time, maybe in 100 years, when they'll be as intelligent as a mouse, then as intelligent as a rat, then as intelligent as a rabbit, then as intelligent as a cat or a dog, and eventually as intelligent as a monkey. At that point, they are dangerous. Because monkeys are self-aware. They know they are monkeys and not humans. Now, dogs are confused. You see, dogs think that we are a dog, that we're the top dog and they're the underdog. So dogs are confused, but monkeys are not confused. So I think in 100 years or so, when they become that intelligent, we should put a chip in their brain to shut them off when they have murderous thoughts.
I'm terrified. I just realized, for one thing, Aaron, as you know, the cockroach is thought to be the survivor of a nuclear winter. You've heard that? It's yes, like yes. You have the big, when the Ruskies drop the big one right here in Chicago, everything is gone except for the cockroaches, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm listening to that. And then when he says the monkeys think this or that and dogs, how does he know that? Do you agree with that?
Well, that's part of his expertise. I don't know if he's assuming there's always that small jump in the end where you're going to assume. Right. So he knows he can, you know, study apes and their behaviors, dogs and their behaviors. I mean, when they're doing that speech, that cognition lab I was talking about, right. A lot of information that they're getting from with this lab is how do they perceive us? Right. So what are they asking us for? What are they asking us to do? What are their perception of our abilities and what we can do? And what he knows with apes is that they understand that we're smarter than them and that we can do more than them. Dogs, that relationship is a little different, and like it's more of a family relationship. They don't really understand why they're living in our house and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So he can kind of get some inklings, but I think he's using a bit of his, he's leaping a bit there, yeah.
At the beginning of this radio program that you and I are part of, we used to do a bit called Talk Radio for Pets. That's probably what they would be talking about, you know. I'm guessing.
No, I really want them to get two dogs with these buttons and have them talk to each other. That would be interesting.
Aaron Mittens, Aaron, don't go away. I'm gonna take us back a couple of thousand years, and then we'll rejoin the moment if we can. So.
Good evening. It does sound incredible, I know, to believe that this man is 2,000 years old, but he spent the last few days at a medical center, and they say it is altogether possible that he is 2,000 years old. Sir, is it true? Are you really 2,000 years old?
Not yet. Not yet. Don't make me older than I am. I'll first be. January the 16th, I'll be 2,000 years old. Young, how we say young, not to curse ourselves with death. You know?
I see. Yeah. Well, sir, I must say that you really don't look 2,000.
Well, I take care of myself, sir.
Well, I know you do. But I think we'd all believe it more if you had some way to authenticate it. Do you have a birth certificate?
We didn't have that then.
You didn't have birth?
No, we didn't have. 2,000 years ago, we didn't have nothing. We didn't have ballpoint pens.
You didn't have?
We weren't even up to ink, darling.
Well, you didn't.
No, we had nothing.
You were primitive in those days.
We were primitive. We were atavistic. We were, what is the word I'm searching for? Dumb. We were very dumb, yes.
You knew...
Stupid.
Yes, you knew very, very little in those days, in other words. You knew nothing about the world and how it turned.
We didn't know anything. We used to sit in little groups huddled together, and we would look up in the sky. We didn't know where the sun was. And we'd go, whoa, whoa, hot, hot, whoa, yellow, hot, yellow, hot.
Well, what did you think it was?
We thought it was a fire.
A fire?
Yes. We tried to put it out for 200 years.
How did
you... Seltzer, but we couldn't reach it. It's very high up.
It's very high up there. Sir, I notice there's quizzical expressions in the audience.
Sure,
matter of fact,
quizzical.
Mr. Sullivan himself has doubtful look on his face. You are not 2,000, he's thinking.
He shouldn't doubt me. That fellow's been around 200 years. So
I don't believe
he
that.
He uses a lot of cream. He looks young, yeah.
Sir,
a cute fella, yeah.
Sir, to live as long as you have, to stay healthy and live this long, you must have some secrets of life.
I have a couple secrets.
Could you tell us? We'd be very interested in hearing it.
Well, if you want to live till 2,000 years, you don't touch fried food. You don't eat it.
You don't eat fried food?
No, and you don't run for a bus. You stroll, jaunty jolly, with your hat at a rakish tilt, one leg after the other, strolling to the bus.
Well, sir, that's not quite enough to stay alive for 2,000 years, just not eating fried foods and strolling jaunty jolly.
Yes, that's true.
Must be something else.
There is another thing.
What is that?
Luck. See, without luck, you're dead.
You need a lot of luck.
Oh, you need a lot of luck.
Sir, you mentioned a bus. There weren't buses transporting you then, what, in the
old
days?
No, we didn't have a scooter. We had nothing then.
No, of course. Well, what was the, in 2,000 years ago, what was the main means of transportation?
Fear. Fear. An animal would growl and give your leg a bite. You'd run a mile in a minute.
So fear transport?
Fear kept you moving, Charlie.
I see.
Fear kept you going.
Sir, I wonder if I can... Can I get personal with you?
Certainly. Because, that's your job.
Yes. Sir, how many... Have you ever been married?
I have been married over 200 times.
200 times?
Yes.
Do you remember all your wives?
Well, I remember one. Well, Shirley, the fourth one, Shirley.
You remember only her?
Yes, she had a nice complexion, yes.
Well, what about the rest of them? Do you remember them?
They're a vague blur of yelling and screaming. Just... Take a shower, why don't you eat? Why don't you kill an animal? I want a mink coat. Go out of the cave, get out of the cave.
Oh, sir. What was there about Shirley that...
Shirley used to call me darling.
She was the only one?
She was the only one who called me darling.
Oh,
yes.
You must have been very happy with
her. No, we broke it up.
Why?
Because she called everybody darling.
Oh, whoa, baby, you're a nag. Nag, 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 nag. You're a nag.
Nag, 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 nag.
You're a nag.
Nag, 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 nag.
You're a nag.
Nag, 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 nag.
Would you go do this and go do that? Nag,
nag, nag, nag, nag.
You're always telling me what to do.
Nag.
I just can't seem to get rid of.
Shop and buy me a rose.
Who will you nag? You're never gonna stop.
Nag.
You always seem to be a blowing your top.
You're a nag.
One of these days I'm gonna lose my mind.
Nag.
You got a window and I'll be real fine. Would you go do it? Go do it.
Wash up all the dishes and don't you talk back.
When I met you, you were oh so sweet.
Nag, 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 nag.
You
Joan Jett. There she is. We don't want to nag you. You just heard something. I haven't heard that in a million years. 2,000 years, maybe. That was a clip from Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. After Carl Reiner had created and to some extent started on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and before Mel Brooks did all those wacky movies, The 2,000-Year-Old Man and all that. So as we time travel a little bit, it is 20 before the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of a theme thing today. No conclusions to be drawn. Some thinking, we hope. Animal intelligence, artificial intelligence, extraterrestrial intelligence. How about emotional intelligence? Is that on your radar? You know what that is? All right, let's bring in Daniel Goleman here.
Emotional intelligence refers to how well we handle ourselves and our relationships. There are four domains. Self-awareness, knowing what we're feeling, why we're feeling it, which is a basis of, for example, good intuition, good decision-making. Also, it's a moral compass. The second part is self-management, which means handling your distressing emotions in an effective way so that they don't cripple you, they don't get in the way of what you're doing, and yet attuning them to them when you need to so that you learn what you must. Every emotion has a function. Also, marshaling positive emotions, getting ourselves involved, enthused about what we're doing, aligning our actions with our passions. The third is empathy, knowing what someone else is feeling. And the fourth is putting that all together in skilled relationship. So that's what I mean by emotional intelligence. There are many definitions out there. The part of the brain, it turns out, that supports emotional and social intelligence is actually the last circuitry of the brain to become anatomically mature. And because of neuroplasticity, the brain shapes itself according to repeated experiences. So my argument is, hey, we should be teaching kids regularly, over time, in a systematic way, self-awareness, self-management, empathy, and social skill. And in fact, there are now enough programs, and they've been around enough in schools, that they're about to publish a huge meta-analysis looking at hundreds of schools and kids that had the program versus those that don't. And guess what? All antisocial behavior, you know, disruption in class, violence in school, goes down 10%. Pro-social behavior, liking school, well-behaved, up 10%. Academic achievement scores up 11%. So it really pays. It executive function, which is mediated by the prefrontal lobe, both helps you manage your emotions and helps you pay attention. So as kids learn these skills, they also learn basic learning skills. I think that...
There's no way we're
on air. And it won't change fast enough for a lot of us as we wait on the world to change. It's quarter before the hour. It is Pirate Radio from Chicago. This is Thursday, the 8th of the month. Tomorrow it's Friday, of course. We've got some stuff coming up. Sometime next week, I think we're gonna do a whole show about coffee. Yeah, I just got some Puerto Rican coffee in the mail. We're gonna whip that up. That's coming up. We're gonna do a thing on lucid dreaming tomorrow. Please join us. What is that? It's when you're dreaming and you're conscious, more or less. I think we'll get the scoop on that. That's coming up tomorrow. And as we wander through the month here, we're coming up on a whole year of doing this in the morning. So oddly enough, which culminates on 420 through no fault of our own, just weird scheduling. So we'll do something that might be a theme show there. I was looking at some stuff. Spark sent me. This is pretty good. Lucky things. Lucky things. Lucky things to keep in your home. You can boost your chances for good energy while warding off evil.
They call you Lady Luck.
That's right.
But there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on this date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay.
I want to bail out of this guy. Why did I ever agree to go out with him?
I can do
it. You want luck? All right. Give me an elephant.
Luck be late.
No. No, an elephant. Buddhist and Hindu belief systems revere the elephant as godly, or nearly godly animals. You got an elephant? You see elephants around, all right. Incense. People burn incense to achieve a sense of relaxation. But some people believe it can rid the home of negative energy. Horseshoes. Historians trace the tradition of using horseshoes back to Irish legends and tales. Some say it wards off the devil. Others say it keeps evil fairy folk away. I hate evil fairy folk. Anyway, placing an iron horseshoe above one's front door is a way to protect the home. And a security system is also good. How about this? The Irish believe placing a horseshoe above the front door. Feng shui people believe that the turtle can guard the home. This is a new one. Turoid tortoise is one of Feng Shui's four celestial guardians. And then bamboo. Kind of a Eastern thought. Chinese superstition declares a bamboo plant to be an integral part of the home. And get this, the number of stalks that a bamboo plant has gives it different meanings. Don't ever give anybody a plant with four stalks. Oh, no. Because in Chinese numerology, that's related to death and misfortune. They will send it right back. How about this? Oh, these are good number stalks. Two stalks represents love. Three is good for happiness. Five, impact wealth. Six is good. Seven, health. Eight, growth. 10 stalks represents perfection. And 21 stalks, that's a lot of dough there. Go ahead. Can I have a 21 stalk bamboo plant, please?
Luck, let a gentleman see.
The color red
just how nice
appears in a lot of cultures, connection with good fortune. The Chinese bring in the new year with the traditional red outfits and red envelopes containing money. You've seen this. In India, brides wear the color red on their wedding day as a symbol of purity and prosperity. And then finally, pigs are lucky. Schwein gehabt is what you'd say if you were German and you just won the lottery. Schwein gehabt. It's an expression of good luck, but it literally translates into got pig in English. Unlike other symbols on this list, pigs are symbols of good fortune for a historical reason. In Europe, in the Middle Ages, a person had to be wealthy to own and maintain many pigs. And finally, whether you keep some acorns in a bowl as a decoration, or you place a couple of acorns on the windowsill, this is Nordic tradition. That's right, my ancestors. The reason acorns are considered symbols of protection and power is because cultures across the world and throughout the ages have revered the massive and enduring oak tree. From which they fell. Thank you, Frank. All right, lucky stuff. Gee whiz. All right. Do you have to be superstitious to go for all that stuff? Let me look at the list here. I don't have an elephant. We burn incense all the time here. If I had any horseshoes, I'd hang them up. And I like bamboo. I've had bamboo plants, and they are lucky, except they often die on me.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could,
your own way.
Fleetwood Mac at 5 before the hour. It is National Empanada Day. I like one of those. That's an interesting, because, you know, in other languages, like, there's a thing called a pasty, which is a Welsh thing. It's like an empanada. Anyway, let's see here. Oh, this is good. Today is Robin Wright's birthday. Robin plays Claire Underwood in House of Cards. You seen this? Kevin Spacey, president. She's won a Golden Globe Award, Satellite Award, 8 Primetime Emmy Award nominations. She is 55 today.
Let's run together again. Not just as husband and wife.
You don't mean...
Yes.
I'm worried about you, Claire. You're not making any sense. You've let your ego get in the way.
I've always been your running mate. You just didn't want to see it.
As my vice president, Jesus.
I've put a lot of thought into this.
You can't have thought it through. Because if you did, you would have come up with a million reasons.
She's never run for anything. No children, nepotism, arrogance. I've run through them all. You can't win without me.
I would rather have a spineless Donald Blythe as my vice president than a woman who's never held elected office.
You're losing to a woman who's never held elected office.
A spineless what as vice president? Is that where Pence put his hand up? Natasha Rodriguez produced us.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.